fact, it's all doubt.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 617-627-3800. That is the number to dial if you want to join in the conversation. 617-627-3800. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO. facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO. Go over there and sign up if you haven't already. We will not bombard your inbox or your feed with lots and lots of meaningless crap. You'll get small amounts of that is not the correct microphone, Lisa Nichols, because someone's playing games with the board. So let's get you over here where you belong. Try that now.
Is it another ploy to keep me off the show?
No. Good God, no.
I feel like every couple weeks this happens mysteriously.
You're the only reason anyone tunes into this show. Nobody listens for me.
They just block you out.
It's all about you. So, no, I couldn't even think of turning off your mic. I wouldn't. No. I walk in here, I assume that the board is set the way that it's supposed to be, and it never, ever is. Mm. There are pieces of headphones to my right. Because somebody went, I don't know. Somebody was having a bad night and decided to snap the headphones apart.
Either snapped them, sat on them, I don't know.
Yeah, so coming up later tonight, we're going to take a look at the burning, smoking, smoldering question of the day of whether or not Massachusetts should legalize marijuana.
And it'll be a question that you will possibly be seeing on the ballot in November. So it's something to get informed about.
And we're also going to take a look at the agreement that Turkey and the European Union has reached over how to deal with the migrant crisis, which is really not good for anyone.
Yeah, it's migrant swapsies.
Yeah, it's really, really not good for anyone.
Give me something, I give you something.
Yeah. And Turkey is really...
Great foreign policy.
Turkey is really getting a lot out of it, and the Syrian immigrants are... Well, I hope they like Turkey. That's all I have to say about
little
that.
Little game of Red Rover going on.
So, Lisa Nichols, what is going on in our world?
Well, in local news, we learned vaccines might not be working. The number of mumps cases at Harvard University has risen to 9, sparking concerns among health officials that the viral illness will spread when students leave for spring break next week. The 9 Harvard cases are among 12 laboratory-confirmed mumps cases in Massachusetts since January 1st, according to the State Department of Public Health. Health officials are investigating more than 24 other cases at Harvard that might be mumps, but the cause of those illnesses has yet to be confirmed. Mumps outbreaks occurred on college campuses in 2006, 2008, and 2013, said Dr. Alfred DeMaria, the director of communicable diseases in the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. Quote, once a college campus starts circulating, it becomes a problem. I wish we understood why. I think that's just because everybody's making out.
Yeah.
Now, when you first hear this story, you might automatically think, well, it's all these parents that don't want to vaccinate their kids.
It's the sex, isn't it? Is it the sex?
Yeah.
If it's not the anti-vaxxer parents,
no,
it's the sex.
The Zika virus is traveling through the sex.
Don't have sex, kids.
But the thing is, here in Massachusetts, if you go, and in most states around the country require this, if you go into public schools, if you go into college, you need to be immunized.
Yeah, but you can get all kinds of waivers for it now as a conscientious objector that they didn't allow years ago.
Mm.
So there's a lot of under-vaccinated children walking around among us.
Now, it also could be from inadequate vaccinations, you know, that's what people automatically think of, but it could be from there is some mutant version of the mumps.
Super
happening.
Mumps. That's what they're going to call it. Super mumps.
But also, the vaccinations could not be working, or only part of it could be working. Yeah. So you have all these symptoms. There's actually one case that is confirmed at Bentley just today, at later this afternoon, a second case at UMass Boston.
Great.
Got confirmed.
Great.
So, you know, especially here in the city of Boston, we have so many colleges.
Yeah.
And people in close contact, whether it be on public transportation, at, you know, a local restaurant, bars, people are touching each other, coughing, sneezing. I mean, yep. You wouldn't know by the weather today, but you're sneezing, coughing on everybody.
And by the way, folks, the hand sanitizer does nothing.
Yeah.
It does nothing. It is not going to stop you from getting the mumps.
And, you know, the rabid influx of things like Tinder and everybody making out with each other. That could be.
Yeah, but that's been going on forever. But what's different...
But when you're talking about a single campus, I'm sure there's some sort of connection going on.
What's different is that every year now, it seems we have another mumps outbreak someplace. And that didn't used to be a thing. You know, especially for younger listeners who are like, well, isn't this normal? No, this is not normal. Like, we went 30 years in this country without having any kind of significant mumps outbreaks.
Because everybody was getting vaccinated.
Yeah. And now all of a sudden it's like mumps outbreak, measles outbreak. It's like we're living in the 1940s again. And there's no reason for this to be happening. So a lot of it, I think, is these anti-vaxxer kids and their idiot parents who did them no favors. Some of it, there are a certain number of people who simply don't gain the benefits of a vaccine. And epidemiologists understand this. They know this. Like, for certain vaccines, it's like 10% of the population, you give them the vaccine all day long, it's just not going to take.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got people coming in from other countries that may not have the same vaccination rules and regulations that we do. It's not a slam on the migrants. It's just a potential contributor. And then you've got the possibility that the vaccine either isn't effective, or that the mumps is like, you know what? I just evolved a strain that can beat your vaccine. So
mumps 2.0 version.
Welcome back to mumps land. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is the same thing that's happening with all of these antibiotic resistant bacteria that we're dealing with right now. You know, people talk about MRSA and these other superbugs. What a lot of people don't understand is that this is an arms race between humanity and everything that wants to kill us.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think there's a possibility with this being affected from what is in our foods and how many things, hormones and antibiotics and...
Yeah.
I mean, for our bodies, are we evolving on how we are affected by different vaccinations or medicines?
The argument has been made that the massive amounts of antibiotics in meat contribute to a general level of antibiotic resistance in us because we are consuming those.
And something that we've been talking on the show before about.
Right. We've been consuming those antibiotics our whole lives. So, you know, when some bug comes along that can beat that, we're in trouble. But viruses and bacteria are different things. You know, bacteria, I mean, they're both living creatures, but the virus is a smarter living creature, if you will, that has specifically evolved to figure out a way to move from host to host and complete its reproductive cycle. That makes them particularly dangerous to us, especially if they are highly communicable.
Well, and like especially mumps. On college campuses. I mean, for the most part, it's pretty contained. You're on campus for most of your day.
Yeah, but then they go out on Friday night, and they're all down at the same bar.
No, but I understand.
We just had
the concern is we now have, what, up to 9 cases. There's still 12, 24 in question, which more than likely are cases of mumps. We're talking about kids going home for spring break starting next week.
Fun.
So how many more people are infected? It's the same thing that happened, and we'll talk about it later in the show, about the neurovirus when kids were going on winter break.
Yeah.
From, what was that, BU.
But I mean, that thing died out pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And really with the norovirus, it's just, you know, you're gonna crap yourself for a few days and then it's over with.
Yeah, the
mumps
is
a lot worse. Yeah, mumps can actually cause sterility in men, which is one of the lesser discussed, more unpleasant side effects of it. So it is something to take seriously. I don't know if that's more common in younger men than it is in prepubescent males and in older males, but that is a risk with the mumps. So, yeah, stay out of downtown Boston, stay out of Daytona Beach.
Hard
I'm not going to Cancun. No. You know, there's mumps there. Is really what you want to say. There is mumps there, and you want to stay away from the mumps.
Yeah, you thought you had to worry about the STDs.
Yeah,
it's
no.
All about the mumps.
It's the STDs they can treat, the mumps you got to live with until it runs its course. National news. Michigan surprised political pundits on Tuesday night as Bernie Sanders claimed the northern state with 49.8% of the vote to 48.3% for Hillary Clinton. Clinton won Mississippi handily with 82.6% of the vote, while Ted Cruz locked up his fourth win in Idaho with 45.4% of the vote. Donald Trump swept Hawaii, Michigan, and Mississippi by double digits on a night where Marco Rubio finished fourth in two contests and claimed his strongest showing in Idaho, where he finished third with 15.9% of the vote.
I'm surprised he didn't have one of those, congratulations speeches like he happens to do every time he comes in second and third. Yeah, that's great showing.
Bernie Sanders was so stunned by winning in Michigan.
Oh, absolutely. I think most people were.
He called reporters, like, his rally had ended. Everybody had gone home. He called reporters to his hotel.
The balloons again. We gotta
in the middle of the night to give a victory speech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he was like, oh, hey, I thank you, Michigan, because they didn't think they were going to win. And the Hillary people are all kinds of upset about this because they spent all that time in Flint. She's supposed to have all these black voters locked up. She's supposed to have all the labor unions locked up.
No, people are actually waking up to the candidate that she is.
Yeah. Well, people are looking at Bernie Sanders and they're like, hey, wait a minute. This guy's not going to outsource all of our jobs and give all of our money to Wall Street. Mm-hmm. We like that.
Because that's what she's all about.
Yeah. And her, you know, her flip-flop on the Trans-Pacific Partnership is going to come back to hurt her.
But Derek, we need to come to a realization, and a lot of people need to have this reality. The candidates are already locked in. We already have the GOP. We already have the Democratic.
We don't.
But we do.
We don't, because
I mean,
here's the thing. Bernie Sanders won Michigan last night. Okay.
And I understand that is huge.
Bernie Sanders won Michigan. Hillary Clinton.
He needs to completely sweep.
Hillary Clinton is widely expected to win Illinois because the Obama machine is going to come out in favor of her. Even though Obama hasn't endorsed anybody, Rahm Emanuel's in there. It's generally accepted.
They're all holding each other's hand.
The way you figure out how Illinois is going to vote, the most corrupt politician wins on the Democratic side. Always. That's just the way it is. Because it's Tammany Hall, 2016. Hillary wins Illinois. Bernie could win Ohio. Bernie could win Florida. And if Bernie puts those two together, suddenly we have a very different picture starting to take shape. He may not mathematically be able to beat her in the number of delegates, but he makes a very compelling case for having a strong influence on whatever the Democratic platform is coming out of the convention. Because if they know that Hillary can't win Ohio and the Republicans pick John Kasich to be the vice president, which is looking more and more likely with each passing day, that's why Kasich is still in this. That's why he's hanging around.
Bush meeting with everybody tomorrow in prior to the debate. And I'm interested to see what happens there because it's going to be Rubio, Cruz, and Kasich talking with Bush. I don't know if he's going to be the one to come out and say, hey, guys, something needs to happen if you're going to take down Trump. But it's already locked.
He's going to be the one to come out and say, I will give my supporters to
Don't get me wrong. I mean, to say that we haven't seen this before in elections where you have somebody that is so far, and I don't want to say so far behind, but mathematically, if we're looking at delegates and superdelegates, there's a big difference.
Kasich,
and if we're looking at where we're going, you already said, obviously, Kasich's going to win Ohio. And he's only doing that and staying in the race to make him look better.
And he had a very strong showing in Michigan, by the way. He finished third, but he finished third just a couple of percentage points behind Ted Cruz. So that's good. John Kasich has been in this to prove that he can deliver Ohio. And John Kasich, I think, needs to stay in it. If he's pulling 4 or 5% in these states, it's not really affecting anything. It's building name recognition. It's getting him in front of people with the idea that he is going to be the vice presidential candidate, whether or not it's Ted Cruz or Donald Trump on the ticket. He's also sticking around because he knows if it comes down to a contested convention, he's got a shot at being the nominee.
Now, do we want that?
No. We do not want a contested convention. We want Jeb Bush.
But you have the Republicans that are coming in and saying, we want that, for the most part, coming out of the convention.
We want Jeb Bush and Rance Priebus and Mitt Romney and the rest of these idiots to go away and listen to the American people who are choosing Donald Trump by a double-digit margin over what else is on offer.
You have a committee that wanted a candidate that could win. You have it.
Yeah.
When do we come in, you know, an election season where they completely turn their back on that person?
Oh,
I get it, in the crazy
land of Republican politics.
Yeah.
He's not conservative enough. We're going to lose all of our down-ticket elections if he's the nominee. Do you want to put somebody in the White House or not? You know, I would recommend that the elites in the Republican Party figure out whatever secret sauce it is that Donald Trump has and apply that to their Senate and House of Representatives campaigns so that they can win down there, too. Donald Trump is not...
Because that is another big election that's happening in November. We have a lot of seats up for grabs.
Well,
and a lot of them are Republican seats.
Yes, but let me tell you something. None of the red states are going to change, all right? None of the red states are going to flip blue because Donald Trump is on the ticket. Most of them have supported Trump anyway. You might have some Senate races that become a problem, depending on how people feel in general.
But it's, as you mentioned last week, and how many people were just out of Massachusetts who were originally either Democrat, flip-flop to Republican, or were an independent and then voted in the Republican primary.
Record turnout again last night.
Now, some statistics came out this week with complete flip-flop numbers compared to the 2008 election.
Yeah.
So we were looking, say, 20,000 versus 8, it's completely flip-flop now, voting for Republican.
In general, and this is not 100% true in every state, but in general, on average, the Republican turnout has been 50% higher than it was in 2012. That's a record turnout, by the way. And the Democratic turnout has been 65% lower. They're getting about a third of the people that they had 4 years ago, whereas the Republicans are up by 50%. So who are these people? Are they Republicans that never vote in primaries that have come out because they're inspired by Donald Trump? Are they Democrats? We know in some cases they're Democrats who have flipped over because they look at Hillary Clinton and they say, this is not what I want. This is not the right direction for this country.
That's what I think is going to happen in November. I mean, if you have Hillary Clinton going up against Donald Trump, there's so many people that are so against Trump that would rather not vote in the election. So they're not going to vote for Hillary. They're just completely disregarding their voting ability.
Which is a huge mistake and something you should never do. Like, hold your nose and vote for somebody, but please go vote.
Unfortunately, for all these people that are so against Trump, all those supporters are still there for Trump. So that is going to propel him. I'm not saying vote for Hillary, but...
And everybody, the elites in the Republican Party who have gotten it wrong time and time again on Donald Trump now believe that if we can simply get Marco Rubio and John Kasich to leave the race, all of their votes will go to Ted Cruz and Ted Cruz will win. That's not going to happen because there are more people who dislike Ted Cruz and more people who want to support Donald Trump. So they can play their games all day long. They are committing suicide. This is suicidal behavior by this party. If the Republicans were smart, after 8 years of hearing, you're never going to elect another president again, you're out of touch with the American people, you don't have anything that anybody wants, why don't you sit back and figure out what Donald Trump is doing? Figure out how he got people excited about the Republican Party again. I could sit here and tell you some reasons why, but it's better if they figure that out on their own.
We like our listeners, Derek. We don't want to turn anybody away.
No, I mean, it's you know, I'm not going to sit here and be like, Donald Trump is a great American.
But listen, I hate even defending him because overall, is he a great person? No, but there's many policies that I do like. I hate this constant every day having to defend him because of what people are hearing in mainstream media. And we know that 99% of all that message is coming from the RNC. It's coming out of Washington.
You and I know that.
And but people are not becoming educated on it.
But here's,
so no, it's not all unintelligent people that are backing Donald Trump and these racists from Southern America.
You could spot the unintelligent people because they're
Southern,
the ones
North
that
America.
They're the ones that repeat the talking points on social media.
Mm-hmm.
You see somebody on social media, Donald Trump's going to start World War III and Donald Trump's going to set off nukes. Those are low information, uneducated people. You're never going to reach them. Okay, they will believe any lie that is put in front of them because they don't know any better. The people who are coming out for Donald Trump aren't paying attention to any of that noise. The people who are coming out for Bernie Sanders aren't paying attention to any of that noise because they see it for what it is. It is a bunch of propaganda, which is what our media is dominated by right mm-hmm. now.
And it's amazing to look on the Democratic side how little coverage Bernie Sanders is getting. And if we understand what his campaign has
this
done.
This is a deliberate campaign by Debbie Wasserman Schultz
amazing.
And the DNC.
It is amazing. There was a study that just came out. It was either Washington Post or New York Times. And how many stories against Bernie Sanders came out in, I think it was a 16-hour news cycle.
Yeah.
It's like upwards of 10.
Yeah. Because the media is trying to tell you who to vote for.
And they think you're dumb and they think you're able to be brainwashed. And no. Don't think for yourself.
No. We'll
this
tell
is
you
what Hillary Clinton wants you to do. Don't think. Let me think for you.
Yeah, because that's the only way she can win. Because if people were educated and actually looked at what she stands for and what she's done and what she's about.
Oh, Derek, so much experience.
One of the things that came out in the exit poll in Michigan last night, this was on CNN right after Donald Trump was hawking his steaks and water, was a great press conference again, by the way, steaks and water. In the exit poll in Michigan that CNN conducted, 80% of people found Hillary Clinton untrustworthy and voted for Bernie Sanders. So 80% of people who find Hillary Clinton untrustworthy vote for Bernie Sanders.
That speaks volumes.
80%.
Mm-hmm.
Find her untrustworthy. Why would you vote someone you don't trust into the highest office of the land? Because she's misunderstood? Because we don't know who the real Hillary is? Give me a break. We know who the real Hillary is. It has been on display since 1992. We've had 24 years to figure out who Hillary Clinton is. It's pretty obvious who she is. And if you don't recognize who she is and don't understand who she is, then it is either because you're not paying attention or you're being willfully naive or you are under her Charlie Manson spell. Because she is the Charlie Manson of politics.
Yeah.
White women.
It's true.
White women of a certain age.
Just under this.
What does Hillary want me to do? I will do whatever Hillary wants me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Scary.
It is. In world news, this one's less happy. North Korea claims to have developed a miniaturized nuclear warhead, which, if true, would signal a new danger to peace in the Pacific Rim. State media reported that the smaller warhead could be fitted on existing North Korean missiles and that the country has improved the power and targeting of its missiles, although outside observers believe their technology would only allow for a strike on South Korea, China, or possibly Japan, not the continental United States. The announcement came as the United States and South Korea participated in annual military drills, something the North Koreans called, quote, nuclear war moves, end quote.
You have to admit this sounds like something from an Austin Powers movie. Dr. Evil's just sitting in his chair saying, a missile on top of a missile. This is crazy.
I want Drake to come out with a song called Nuclear War Moves.
Can we
get like nuclear war moves from Drake or maybe Katy Perry and get some good dancing going with this? Yeah,
yeah,
we need like nuclear war moves, the song.
Now, with all this happening, you know, the missiles, nuclear talks, this bizarre dynasty. There's millions of people that are starving in this country. They are imprisoning political leaders. When do we stop and say, all right, that's enough. We need to take some sort of force. Now, I understand we've had this conversation before in talking about, well, do we leave it up to sanctions? Do we look at China to put on sanctions on North Korea? Is that going to have enough effect for them to stop, what, cutting the BS?
I don't know that the BS is the problem.
Do we even want to get involved? I mean, how high does the threat need to be
We're involved either way, because all of this nuclear posturing by North Korea is aimed at us. It's basically their way of saying, get out of South Korea, get out of our backyard.
Well, essentially, when you have a smaller missile, what does that mean?
When you have
longer range.
Well, when you have the smaller warhead, it means that you can put it on a missile. So they had a nuclear bomb, okay? Nuclear bomb, those who recall history will know that the first nuclear bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were dropped by great big bomber jets with massive payloads because they weighed a couple of tons. You can't put that on a missile. The missile isn't going to go anywhere. So you've got to figure out a way to make your nuclear weapons smaller so that you can then put them on a missile, and then you can shoot the missile at
whomever you want. Experts have been saying this for a year. North Korea has the ability to do this, to shrink down a nuclear warhead.
They've been saying, even this report is questionable.
I'm actually disappointed you don't have our friend, Do you?
Oh, that's right. I should go. She didn't make the announcement this time. We did not have the official announcement
from North Korean media.
Yeah, because
she's a peach.
I love her. Yeah, we'll have to go. See, you remind me of this now. We'll have to go find her. And I'm looking at breaking news, by the way. John Kasich just released a poll saying he's got 34% of the vote in Ohio to 29% for Donald Trump. Rubio at 7. So I'll be stunned.
I'll be interested to see if Rubio wins Florida, which isn't looking like it.
Totally stunned if Kasich doesn't win that. Anyway, back to North Korea. Every now and again, this story pops up, and I look at it, and I'm like, why are we spending so much time focused on Iran when North Korea is doing what they're doing? And I think really what it comes down to is Iran with a nuclear weapon destabilizes a big chunk of the world in a much bigger way than North Korea with a nuclear weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Because the worst case scenario, and this is bad, I don't mean to make light of this, the worst case scenario is that North Korea launches one of these things in South Korea and it goes off, and then either China or the United States drop a couple of their bombs on Pyongyang, and that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Because in lieu of these quote unquote, what did they call them? What we were doing on Monday, the ballistic practices.
Yeah, the
they thought
tests.
It was some sort of warfare going on.
Right.
South Korea actually came out yesterday and announced unilateral sanctions against North Korea.
Yeah.
So that's against basically blacklisting a bunch of individuals and organizations in North Korea. Is that going to do enough for them to stop? No, absolutely not. We need something big like China. They have a bigger impact on that.
And China's on board with the sanctions now. Kim Jong-un.
Well, like I said, you can only hear so many threats before you believe something's going to happen.
Is it Kim Jong-un, Kim Il-young? Which Kim is it? It's one of the Kims. Kim Jong-un, nobody knows what's going on with this guy.
He's a disaster.
Nobody has any idea.
He's running around.
They hacked Sony Pictures.
Killing people.
They hacked Sony Pictures and released all their emails because they were unhappy about a movie.
Right.
You know, this is not a guy that anybody wants having a nuclear weapon.
Mm-mm.
And the ability to deliver it somewhere. No one is happy about this. Can they hit the United States with it? No. Are they stupid enough to fire it at China, which is the only country in the world that still deals with them? No. So the only alternatives you have are you're going to shoot it at South Korea to try and start the war up again, or you're going to shoot it at Japan, who knows why. Because Japan...
But it's so strange to me not understand the repercussions of what could happen after that, knowing that United States would get involved, knowing that China would get involved.
They
I mean, is this just delusion where he thinks that he can do anything that he wants without any consequences.
They are so isolated that they may be delusional enough to think they can get away with it. It's not like they have real diplomatic relations with anybody else or any real understanding.
I'm just going to shoot off a nuclear warhead. Nobody is going to know.
Yeah, it's like...
Everybody's going to look at a satellite and be like, where did South Korea go?
Everybody's going to know. And if he does this, nobody's going to think twice about dropping a bomb on Pyongyang. Mm-hmm. And then that's the end of North Korea. And it's not like there would be any hesitation to do it for anything other than humanitarian reasons for the collateral damage, because the fallout isn't going to go blow on somebody else's country. You could take out Pyongyang with one nuke. End of story.
Flat, yeah.
Not a problem. So the global community looks at this and says, the fear of that happening will keep the North Koreans in line. And that works until the day that it doesn't. And who knows when that day is. This guy, he's a little loose.
This isn't new. This is something that's been going on for a while. He's a lot of talk.
Yeah.
But as we said, how long does a lot of talk go on before...
Yeah, I mean, at some point, if you think this guy is actually going to use it, you either have to fly in there and eliminate their ability to use it, which means bombing the hell out of Pyongyang and taking out the command and control infrastructure.
Does that mean you cannot enter the country?
Right. I mean, we got to fly in and take them down, and then you're at war with North Korea. Or he sets it off, and then you have to retaliate. You know, nobody could sit by if this guy set off a nuclear weapon and allow him to stay. That's it. Game over. We're just going to wipe you off the map.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure at some point we threatened Iran with the same thing. You know, if you guys set off a nuclear weapon somewhere, we're going to turn your country into 4 inches of glass.
Yeah, you might not want to mess with that. Well, today in sports news, we learned when you do drugs, you lose money. Swiss watchmaker Tag Heuer cut ties with tennis star Maria Sharapova on Tuesday, the latest sponsor after Nike and Porsche distanced themselves from the world's highest paid female athlete following her failed drug test. The swift response is on the heels of Sharapova's announcement Monday, signaled in a change in attitude among high profile corporate backers following a series of doping and corruption scandals in the sports world. Quote, we're now entering a zero tolerance era for sponsors. It is now seen not acceptable to, quote, stand by your man because the amount of scrutiny corporations are under now, said Ruber Pratt, co-founder of sports sponsorship agency Generate. Sharapova's failed drug test at January's Australian Open, one of four annual Grand Slam events, will likely lead to a ban of the 28-year-old Russian. The International Tennis Federation's anti-doping program calls for a four-year suspension for a positive test. That ban can be reduced in various circumstances, such if the player shows no significant fault or negligence. Now, she made $29.7 million last year, according to Forbes. One of the highest paid, or the highest paid women's athletes.
Yeah, because she's young, she's model
gorgeous.
Attractive,
mm-hmm.
and she represents a global sport. So a lot
and
of
we're talking about five-time Grand Slam winner. This isn't you're just everyday
right.
tennis player.
I mean,
and then to hear this, it's pretty shocking. And there's mixed, reaction in the tennis world. You had Serena Williams come out and say she understands what she has done, accepts it. Now, this is over a drug called Meldonium?
Yes,
is
Meldonium.
And this is something that she's been taking years. Basically, it's sort of like a heart medicine. It makes your blood flow faster.
Yeah.
It was just added to the banned substance list last year. She had warnings multiple times that she was going to fail and kept on with it.
Kept taking it, yeah.
But it kind of raises that question. Well, I was sick for so long, and this is why she originally took it, because she had constantly been feeling ill. And now if you are an elite tennis player and you need to get through a game, you're going to take the medicine that helps you do that.
But here's the thing. This is a pill that's supposed to be prescribed for about 90 days. She's been taking it
for
10 years.
That's a...
10 years. So it's, let's WMFO Medford, first of all. Let's call it what it is. She's taking the stuff because it gives her an edge. There's no other reason you're taking it for 10 years.
I think after 10 years, you're just taking it to maintain what you're doing, because you know the minute you're off of it, your game's gone.
But here's another
angle.
Your
body has gotten so used to it. Taking a pill for 10 years?
Here's another angle on this story, because an anonymous tip came in that she was taking this, like right around the time that they were banning it and the warnings came and all the rest of this. Is it coincidental that she's Russian? Because we've already had the Russian gymnasts and the Russian track and field thrown out of international competition. Every time you turn around lately, there's some other Russian sports federation
that is being banned from the Olympics in Rio,
getting sanctioned and kicked out of international competition. It is no secret that the Russians have been doping for decades. Mm-hmm. And the Soviets before them. That was a big part of the Soviet athletics program, which is we find the best, we train the hell out of them, we pump them full of the finest chemicals available to mankind, and if they don't win, we make them live in Siberia. That was the life of a Russian athlete. Because
you know, when this hockey game, we live in Siberia.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Olympics were a proxy war between communists and
look at the 80s.
Capitalists.
How important those games were.
And the Russians cheated to get every advantage. And by the way, so did we. Plenty of our people have been banned for doping. Plenty of French have been banned for doping. Swiss, Italians, you name it. Pro athletes all over the place get banned for doping. A lot of this lately is directed at Russian athletes. And you have to wonder at a certain point if there isn't some other agenda at work here. People are upset about Putin going to Ukraine.
Well, you had an announcement coming out of Russia today. I think out of the Kremlin, and I forget who spoke, but saying, you know, this isn't a representation of us. We're not a bad country of all drugs.
Yes, it is, because all your athletes are
that's
doping.
What he's, yeah.
Yeah, they've all
that's
been kicked out of international
defend.
Sport. But, you know, people are upset about Ukraine. They're upset about Crimea. They're upset about Syria. They don't like Putin in general. We can't go to war with them, so guess what?
Let's get rid of all their athletes.
All these years, we've been looking the other way while your people are taking drugs. Over. We're going to start cracking down on this.
Well, it's crazy when you have almost these stars that are the untouchables. That, you know, we had it with Lance Armstrong in cycling.
Right.
Never would you think that he was doping. He was the face of it.
People suspected he was doping for
Sharapova, years. The Venus and Serena Williams sisters, they're the face of women's tennis.
People have suspected that the Williams sisters have been doping for years, too. Anybody who gets up to that level now, the suspicion is there.
You have to question it.
Yeah.
It's funny, too, because this comes right on the heels, and we talked about it, the latest in the tennis sports scandal, where you had one of the top, if not the top, male player getting accused of paying off certain games for insider trading and insider bets.
Match fixing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had that discussion a couple of weeks ago when the Australian Open was kicking
off.
But
it's a reality. You're always going to have controversies, doping scandals in sports.
Yeah.
It's part of it. It's like, you know, beer and peanuts at a baseball game. Drugs, it's just
yeah.
a thing.
And I think it's pretty... I'm not giving Maria Sharapova the benefit of the doubt here. You've been taking this stuff for 10 years. Your doctor's been prescribing it to you for 10 years. You know why you're taking it. You know what it does. It helps you play better. It wasn't banned until last year. You should have stopped taking it in January. And you wouldn't be having this problem. But at the same time, there is a big bullseye on Russian athletes right now. And they are looking to nail all of them for doping. That's not a coincidence. And granted, there have been some huge findings about institutionalized doping in Russian sport. But I think if you turn that same investigative eye at the United Kingdom or the United States or any of these other countries, you would find the same institutionalized doping. We've seen it in Major League Baseball. A lot of people strongly suspect it's going on in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Although to date, everyone in the NFL has been good enough to keep it under the rug. Every now and again, somebody gets caught or slips up or gets thrown under the bus. But no one's talking about institutionalized drug use in the NFL, although we think everybody's on HGH.
It's just part of the league.
Yeah, it's just part of the price that you pay to be in the league. Baseball's been trying to clean itself up for years, arguably. So this isn't new. This isn't limited to one country's athletes. One country's athletes is being put under additional scrutiny. And they are looking for ways to get the Russians out because they know it hurts national pride. This is a war between the West and Vladimir Putin. The athletes are caught in the middle because the Russian people go nuts when their athletes can't compete.
Mm-hmm.
Sport is a huge source of pride for the Russian people.
You know, we have the Rio Games in a couple months.
The idea that you're going to have a Rio Olympics without Russian athletes creates a lot of unrest and turbulence back home. And somewhere through some back channel, somebody's told Vladimir Putin, get your guys out of the Ukraine, and we can see what we can do about this doping ban. I guarantee you it's been said.
Well, in food news, we learned Chipotle can't seem to remove norovirus from their ingredient list. A Chipotle restaurant in Billerica closed Tuesday after several employees were diagnosed with norovirus, officials said. Four employees have reported feeling ill, said Chris Arnold, the spokesperson for the restaurant. Any other employees who do not feel well were tested and will not return to work until they fully recover. During the closure, the restaurant on Boston Road will be fully sanitized, and the norovirus can be contagious, will cause stomach pain, nausea, and diarrhea, according to the Center of Disease Control and Prevention. Can we just shut down all the Chipotles?
What?
This is out of control.
No. Didn't they have the company-wide meeting where they closed down for half a Monday and told everyone how important food safety is?
Now, if you remember back in, it was December, the Cleveland Circle location in Brighton
had a little norovirus
to infect, I think it was upwards of 150.
It was somewhere between 134 and 150.
And, you know, just general people of the public. I mean, that was a huge outbreak. They shut down for a few weeks, completely cleaned it. Then we were assured by the CEO. He came out, we are changing all practices. Everything is going to be great. Yeah, we just had another one. And then a couple weeks later, we had E. coli at a few locations.
Yeah.
A few months before that, same E. coli going on in the Northwest. This is a problem. And as Derek, you said before, a lot of these restaurants tend to have more of a chance of carrying these infections just because of the kind of food that they're dealing with. There's not much crossover.
Yeah.
The chicken, there's still a little left. It goes on top of it.
Yeah.
You're not changing the tomatoes.
So which location was this?
This is in Billerica.
Mm-hmm. So that's
Boston Road.
Chris, of time travel, is up in that part of the state from time to time.
Do not eat there. They even tried this promotion to, you know, quote unquote, win back customers.
Friends.
Where you would tweet them and then you would get a free burrito.
Friends don't let friends eat Chipotle, I think should be the slogan in response to that. Look, I've said it before. It is the nature of what they sell. You cannot have giant vats of meat and mixed raw ingredients and not expect that you're going to get bacterial contamination.
Well, especially we know certain foods are at higher risk to E. coli.
Which all happen to be on Chipotle's menu.
Is one of the biggest.
Cilantro, scallions are a problem. Beef, if it's not cooked properly, is a problem. And we had health inspectors go in up there by Boston College and find out that the meat was not being kept at the right temperature.
And you would think after having an outbreak and infecting 150 people that there would be a massive transformation.
No. Everything's fine.
And sanitized.
We shut down.
You sanitized? That's what...
We shut down one morning, all of our locations, and told our employees food safety is important.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you feel better about Chipotle now?
I do.
Don't you feel better?
Makes me want a burrito.
Don't you have confidence that in 3 hours, we told our minimum wage employees how important it is that they don't come to work sick, that they wash their hands when they come out of the bathroom, that they follow proper food handling rules. Everything's okay now. We had a 3-hour company-wide meeting. Maybe people were stupid enough to buy that in the 1970s. It's 2016. It doesn't fly anymore.
Yeah, I would stay.
We hired a consultant.
Stay very clear. Yeah,
we have a consultant
work.
Looking at our food handling and food sourcing practices. You know what? Stop making people sick. That's what you need to do. And you're not going to do it with a three-hour company meeting, and you're not going to do it with a consultant. So figure out what you're going to do. At some point, there are going to be class action lawsuits about this because this keeps happening over and over and over again. And that just screams...
You're essentially willingly putting me in danger of...
That just screams incompetence. What the heck are you doing over there? In technology news, what's the thing went over there? We learned that Goodyear has reinvented the wheel. The tire company unveiled new spherical wheels designed for self-driving vehicles with a tread pattern inspired by brain coral. Unveiled at the Geneva Auto Show, the wheels would allow a vehicle to travel in any direction, but would require magnetic levitation cores, a bit similar to the technology that operates Star Wars character BB-8 that has yet to be developed for automotive use.
Can we just stop with the self-driving cars? I can't fathom it, and I know you love this story.
This is badass.
Because it has the same mechanics as one of your favorite characters of Star Wars.
Just imagine a car, okay, and instead of having axles
going
and wheels
front, it can rotate in any way.
Where those would normally be, you've got like four ice cream scoops with these spheres underneath.
Mm-hmm.
The car can go forwards, backwards, it can go sideways, it can go diagonally, it can move in any direction and not lose traction, and it can do it under any level of power because you don't have to move wheels. Wheels are essentially a two-dimensional object trying to perform a three-dimensional function. This is a three-dimensional wheel that can just go anywhere. I mean, this thing could just spin around in a circle within its own width.
Now, doesn't that put more fear in your head, knowing that these cars will not be operated by a human being and by a machine? And we're talking about not only can they go forwards and backwards, but now they can go in any direction.
You know what I'd be afraid of with this? Is because the way that it's going to work is, as I've said, it's maglev technology. So you're going to have a big magnet in the sphere that the car sort of floats above. I'd be afraid that you get this thing going fast enough and the car's just going to fly off of the wheels. And good luck. Then you're not going anywhere and you're chasing spheres around all over the highway. Not a good time for anybody.
Or you have an opposite attraction. You have another magnet and it pulls.
That one I think they can solve. But overall, it's a really, really cool idea that solves a lot of problems. I would not be surprised... long before we ever see this in self-driving cars, we see this in industrial applications. For example, a lot of warehouses have automated machinery, forklifts and stuff that roll around on their own. You could put all of those on these, and then they can move in any direction that they need to. That's a cool application for this. Cars, I don't know why you couldn't put it on a car that people could drive.
Again, I say I don't know if I would want to give somebody the option to move in any direction and not just forwards and backwards.
Right. You would,
while driving, 85 on the highway.
You would need to learn how to handle this thing. And this would not handle like any car that anyone had ever driven. Because if you turn the steering wheel a little bit.
Just the slightest movement.
Right.
It's a completely different.
You could start sliding the thing sideways.
I bet it would be amazing for when I need to parallel park.
Exactly.
Because, my skills are.
That's one of the things, is it's like it can just stop and then move sideways into a parking space. So I think the industrial applications of these tires are much more interesting and much more promising than the current automotive applications for it. But if you're Goodyear and you're at the Geneva Auto Show, everybody wants to talk about cars. Because when you think about tires, you generally think about cars and not industrial equipment.
What was that, the thing, like the hoverboard that was really popular this Christmas? Isn't that essentially the same thing? Because it can spin in any direction.
That...
It's not tires, but you can do a full circumference.
That actually has two wheels on it. And because it only has two wheels, it's not...
It's able to.
It's not limited by the box. Mm-hmm. And then those two wheels actually move on an axis independent of each other if you know how to control it.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can...
So it's a little bit different technology.
If you were perpendicular to a wall, you couldn't move sideways away from the wall, but you could move any other direction that you want away from the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You can move away from it diagonally from a zero speed, which you couldn't do in a car. So kind of neat. Kind of neat. Be interesting to see what they do with these. Goodyear's got a bunch of stuff out about them. Take a look at them. It's just like a big black rubber sphere with a coral pattern on it. Kind of neat.
No why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Can I tell you there was too much sun up in the sky today? A little too much?
Do you know where I was at the beach?
It is scalding in the studio right now.
First beach day.
Yeah.
First week of March.
It was definitely a beach day today. Did we break the record? That I didn't see.
I heard it got up to 77 at Logan Airport.
So that would have broken the record, I believe.
Yes.
So we set a new temperature record, 77. It feels like May.
It's beautiful.
Out there.
Absolutely.
It was a beautiful afternoon, beautiful early evening, and a tease of things to come. Although tonight, we're only going to fall back to about 56 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, not as warm, but still a high of 65. That's not bad. That's promising. Tomorrow night, we fall back into the mid-40s. Friday, highs in the mid-50s. Lows in the mid-30s as the cold returns. Might see a raindrop or a snowflake late on Friday. Saturday, we get back up to 60 degrees. Mid-40s for a low Saturday night. Sunny skies on Saturday. And then Sunday, once again, will be around 60. Low of about 40 Sunday night under partly cloudy skies. No real significant rain in the forecast. Tomorrow we're getting rain. Tomorrow we get a lot of rain coming. After that, no more significant rain until Monday. So, not bad. I think we'll take that, right? If you listened to Time Travel earlier tonight, which I recommend that you do every week, along with On the Town, which is on at 9 o'clock after us, everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. You know that Chris Earle played quite a bit of Beatles because we lost one of the most influential men of the 20th century early today. George Martin passed away at the age of 90. And George Martin was the man who didn't discover the Beatles, but was the first to record and produce the Beatles, a band that he didn't really think that much of. And when you listen to early Beatles music, it's easy to understand why they were overlooked. Because there isn't anything really that spectacular about their songwriting, although it's good. There isn't anything really that spectacular about their musicianship, although they're all very capable. And certainly musically talented, you could pick out 1,000 bands and just say, well, what's so special about the Beatles? What wound up being very special about the Beatles was George Martin, who began his life with parents who wanted him to have a good civil service job and took that job, fought in World War II, came out and decided to pursue his dream of becoming a musician. So he was a classically trained musician who one day found himself in a recording studio and discovered his true passion in life and spent the rest of his life working with a number of extremely notable acts, including the Beatles. He began recording classical music and comedy. So he had no idea what rock and roll was or what pop music was or what it should sound like. But he had some ideas of what he could do to make the Beatles sound unique. And that sound transformed a generation, transformed the sound of rock and roll, transformed the sound of pop music, and we still hear echoes of it around us everywhere today. This is a huge, huge figure in our popular culture. So I'm going to play some George Martin stuff tonight, and I'm going to open this up tonight with a very early version. This is not a finished version of this song, and the reason I'm pulling this one out is partly so that you can hear the different layers that went into the things that he did, but also so that you can hear George Martin himself, who will be counting off the beats that would later be replaced by an orchestra. This is WMFO Medford.
About a lucky man who made the grade. And though the news was rather sad, count them all. Now they know how many holes it takes to fill the alcohol.
Next time you're buying bacon, look through that window on the package. I'm Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. All bacon packages must have a transparent window so you can see a representative slice. And chances are, if you check the window, you can get the kind of bacon you like. Bacon with a high proportion of lean is obviously a better buy. Bacon with the lean distributed as streaks throughout the slice will be more attractive and crisper when cooked.
Never get the flu.
My kids don't need more shots.
I don't have time.
We're all healthy.
My asthma's under control.
I'm pregnant. I've had the flu. It's not a big deal.
My kids are too old
for flu.